Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Libraries pull out all the stops when it comes to summer reading programs, coming up with creative ideas to inspire kids to read when they're out of school. But picking the right books for the children in your life can be challenging. This hour, we're going to find out about the best new books for children and young adults, maybe the perfect book for the reader in your life. We've asked 3 experts in children's literature to help us out. And Sarah Prineas is here. She is an author. Her most recent book is Dragon Fell, and she's also a bookseller at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Hello, Sarah.
Hello. Happy to be here.
And Barb Stein also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and is a former elementary school librarian. Barb, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much.
And Jerry Hyde is with us, the Youth Services Manager at the Ames Public Library. Hello, Jerry.
Hello. Thank you for inviting me.
And I think we should dive right in. Sarah, I'm going to let you go first, but let's start with picture books. Let's start with the young children in our lives.
Okay.
What have you got?
I'm trying to decide which theme I'm going to pick out. I think I'm going to do crocodiles first.
All right.
And I'll just... If I could do both of these together, I'll do them pretty quickly.
All right.
So the first one is called How to Be on the Moon by author-illustrator Vivian Schwartz. And it's the second book in a series featuring Anna and Crocodile. And what's really great about these books is that Anna is a go-getter. She's a little girl, and nothing is impossible for her. So the book begins, "Let's go to the moon," said Anna. "But that's out in space," said Crocodile. "Space is dark, and there's nobody there, and the moon is really very far away. It will be almost impossible." "I like that," said Anna. "Let's go." And so they go on this trip to the moon, of course. I mean, why not? The other crocodile book is called Little Doctor and the Fearless Beast by Sophie Gilmore. And it's about a girl who is a doctor to crocodiles. And one day, a crocodile called Big Mean comes in, and she tries her hardest to treat Big Mean, but she has to sort of prove herself first, and then she finds the reason for Big Mean's meanness, which I'm not going to give away. But it's another really wonderful story about a girl who's persistent and determined, in this case, to help someone, not just to get to the moon. So those are my 2 favorite crocodile girl power books.
And what age range would you say?
Oh, I would say both of them probably 3 to 6, don't you think, Barb? Yeah, I think probably about that age.
All right. And my girl power crocodile part of my home library is pretty empty, so this is exciting.
This will fulfill all of your crocodile needs.
All right. Barb, you want to go next?
I'm bringing a book that's not a new book, but it's been newly issued as a board book. I was so excited when I saw this because I've been building my grandbaby's libraries, and I was sorry that it was so old I was never going to see it. All of a sudden, it appeared in board. It's called I Ain't Gonna Paint No More by Karen Beaumont. The illustrations are exuberant, blasting with color. The kid is painting himself or herself all over her whole body. And the opening spread has mom with her hands on her hips, and it goes like this. "One day my mama caught me painting pictures on the floor and the ceiling and the walls and the curtains and the door. And I heard my mama holler like I never did before. Yeah, ain't it gonna paint no more." Now this kid's in the bathtub with the dog or the animal. Now mama's putting the paints up in the coat closet way up high. Kid's on the steps. "I ain't gonna paint no more, no more. I ain't gonna paint no more." "That's what I said. But there ain't no way that I ain't gonna paint no more." So I take some red and I paint my, and there you go, head. Now I ain't
nice.
Gonna paint no more. And it goes on like that through the whole body. And the fun thing is the rhyme, the rhythm, the color, and the predictability, so even young kids can say what you're going to say next.
Well, wonderful read-aloud book.
And the way that the pages are kind of, when the child is not painting, they're kind of boring and black and white. And then it's these bursts of color.
I guess the one thing I would say, I know somebody listening out there is saying, I am not going to read a book that has ain't in it. You know what? If your kid was going to talk like that, they would by now. And it's, you know, you have to kind of get over it because they get the joke. Yes.
Right. Kids get the joke. That's an important life lesson. So I Ain't Gonna Paint No More, a reissue now out in Board Book by Karen Beaumont. And that brings us to you, Jerry. What would you like to talk about first?
Well, I'm going to combine both of their themes that they have in their book. And we ain't going to eat the moon anymore. I'm going to choose, and it's all about the moon, A Big Moon Cake for Little Star by Grace Lynn. And this is a wonderful little tale of celebrating the moon and its changes throughout the month. And it's all about a little girl who is watching and helping her mom make a moon cake. And then the moon cake is placed up into the sky. And the little girl's told, you know, that you have to, she's put to bed and then she is told to stay there. But, you know, children don't do always what they're going to do. So I ain't going to stay in my bed anymore. So then she goes up into the sky and finds the moon and has a little nibble. And then she nibbles all throughout the month until the moon is gone. So a great way of sharing the phases of the moon. But Grace Lynn has done such a fabulous job with the illustrations as well. And this young girl, it's all set on a really stark black background, like the sky is at night when there isn't a moon. And both the mother and the daughter, probably reflective of Grace Lynn and her daughter, that she's trying to teach her heritage with her. So A Big Moon Cake for a Little Star. Fabulous book.
All right, by Grace Lynn. Sounds great. What's your age range, do you think?
Well, we are using this one in most of our programs this summer. I'm using it in the toddler program, and it's also a story time pick. So I would say 2 to 6, 7 years old.
All right. And that brings us back to you, Sarah. What's next on your list?
Okay, Barb and I have decided that we have a mouse theme for our next picks. Mine is A Mouse Called Julian by author-illustrator Joe Todd Stanton. And it's from a smaller publisher called Flying Eye that just does the most fun, beautiful books. But it's about this mouse called Julian who he lives on his own. And it begins, Julian had lived on his own for as long as he could remember, and that was the way he liked it. All the animals above ground tried to eat him, and all the animals below ground got in his way. So Julian's a little bit of an introvert and a little bit of a misanthrope. The next spread of the book is this picture of underground, all these little holes with little animals up to their own lives, and Julian off by himself. Now, you would think that the arc of the story would be Julian learns how to be friends with everybody, right?
Yep, that would be my guess.
It doesn't do that, which is so awesome, right? So Julian goes about his life, and he has an encounter with a fox. The fox tries to eat him and pokes his teeth and face into Julian's house. And thereby, instead of eating Julian, they do become friends. And the fox ends up saving Julian from an owl. And there's this wonderful moment later in the book when they've gone their separate ways. And the fox, in order to save Julian, has to pounce on him and gobble him into his mouth. And the next spread of the page is the fox opening his mouth wide, and there's Julian dripping wet with this expression on his face in the fox's mouth. And the fox says, Pardon, said Julian. The fox put Julian down. Now we are even, he smiled. And they still like to keep to themselves, but every now and then they get together to hang out together. Yeah, so that is my favorite mouse book of all time.
All right. A Mouse Called Julian by Joe Todd Stanton. Yeah. Barb, what's your mouse book?
Lion and Mouse by Yarrow Butrygo. And it is an Aesop's fable with a slight twist. And I have to put a plug in here for traditional literature. The more you read traditional literature, fables, folk tales, kids aren't getting them anymore, fairy tales. They just don't have the background. And in fact, the illusions are everywhere in comedy and movies, on TV, all the time. You really get a really strong thing from traditional literature.
You become culturally literate.
Very much so. And this one was one of my favorites as a kid when I first read it, because the lion gets himself in a jam when he goes after a ham hanging in a tree. And he gets in a net, and he has done one favor for the mouse, and the mouse chaws through that big net and saves him. And suddenly they're talking about, if I did this for you, you did this for me, back and forth, back and forth. Eventually they end up moving in together, and because there was more room there than in the mouse's home. And one day the lion went up very, very close to the mouse to see him better. You know, seeing you so close up, friend mouse, you aren't at all, not at all ugly. And anyway, this darling picture of the mouse riding between the ears of the lion, and they walk through the bushes, and the good mouse is sitting on the lion's head. It's just a darling ending. And get back to those fables. Don't miss them.
You know, I just realized, I think a mouse called Julian is a lion and mouse story.
Yes, yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
Interesting. Now, we're all culturally literate. Okay. Lion and mouse and Yarrow Butrego?
Butrego.
All right. And I think you have a mouse book too, Jerry.
Well, actually, I have a pig book.
Okay.
Well, there is a mouse, but it's not on the top of my list. I mean, it's one of my favorites,
Tell
but
us
not
about your
the,
pig.
a piglet named Mercy. And I have to be totally transparent. Kate DiCamillo, the author of this book, is one of my most all-time favorite authors. Mm-hmm. And so when anything comes out of hers, it is on the top of my list. But this one is a book about a pig that has made his home at Mr. Watson and Mrs. Watson's home. And he just came there one day, knocked on the door, and wanted a home. This is a picture book version of a wonderful, easy-to-read or beginner reader series called Mercy Watson. And this tells the beginning of where Mercy has come to be.
All right, so it's like a prequel for the Mercy Watson series.
It is, only it's in picture book form, so all
perfect.
Of our little preschoolers can take a look at this one and then fall in love with the beginner reader ones and be confident in what they're reading.
Great. We're going to take a short break. A Piglet Named Mercy by Kate DiCamillo. We'll be back in just a moment to find out more about the best new books for children and young adults in a moment. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're talking about the best new books for children and young adults. With me this hour, Jerry Hyde, Youth Services Manager at the Ames Public Library, Barb Stein, who works at Prairie Lights Bookstore and is a former elementary school librarian, and Sarah Prinius, who is an author. Her most recent book is Dragonfell, and she also sells books at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. And we've been talking so far about picture books, so let's do a couple more picture books, and I know both Barb and Jerry brought some great transitional books, which I know as a parent, those were always really hard to find the best ones of those. So, Sarah, how about a picture book for us?
Okay, since we're on an animal theme, my animal of choice for this book is the naked mole rat. This is Sweetie by Andrea Zuhill. And a couple years ago on the Christmas show, I talked about her debut picture book, Wolf Camp, which was hilarious. Well,
yes.
Sweetie is just right up there. It's about this girl, mole rat, who is just a little different from all the other mole rats in her class. Sweetie is awkward even for a naked mole rat. Her unusual hobbies include identifying fungi, interpretive dance, and talking passionately about her doll, warrior princess Zorna. And it's kind of about her trying to make connections with people. And because she is intense, she does get, you know, when she talks about her doll, she says, "This is warrior princess Zorna, friend of the friendless, destroyer of evil, lover of chocolate beet cake with cream cheese frosting. Her favorite color is aubergine, and my mom made her for me." So she can really get into the things that she loves. She's just herself. And it's a really cool book about I think for any kid, you know, kids are always trying to figure out who they are. And this is one of those books. It's like, hey, just be yourself, even if you're like a weird naked mole rat.
So maybe for preschoolers, kids starting to interact with other kids in those
books,
environments.
It's one of those books that I think could cover a large range because it's very funny, but there are also occasional footnotes or bits of dialogue with characters that older readers would like too.
Nice.
So I think it could go up to like 8 even. It's just a very funny
All right. Sweetie by Andrea Zuhl. And Barb, what's your next pick?
My next one is Camp Tiger. And I picked it mostly for the illustrations. A family going out camping. It has that magical realism quality. They've got their canoe on their station wagon. They go up to the most gorgeous mountain lake. And they're all set up for camp. And an enormous tiger appears. And he talks. And he says, I don't have a tent. And they share a tent with him and an adventure on a canoe, and then he disappears the next day. The thing that's intriguing about this, besides the wonderful illustrations, is it's a first grade boy and a fourth grade boy, brothers in this story. And it really is kind of about the first grade boy growing up a little bit, letting go of things, dealing with reality. That's really the underlying theme, but very sweetly done and beautifully done.
All right, so that one is Camp Tiger by Susan Choi. What do you have next, Jerry?
O.J. Lee Haliga, We Are Grateful. It's a book all about gratitude and being thankful and reflective of the struggles that we have throughout the year. And so it goes across the seasons, so it's a seasonal book, but it's all about the Cherokee Indians and their language. So it's actually, there's the native Cherokee language that is shared throughout, and they define, you know, fall and provide those words, Cherokee words. And so it's a great way to expose our children to different cultures and different people across the world and in our past. So it's got some definitions of the words that they are providing, as well as the Cherokee symbols for their words and how they put their words together. But the theme of it is also very, very, very nice. And I think it's a theme that we all need to be more so aware of. And that's being grateful for all of our blessings and throughout the year, and then reflect on our struggles to learn what we can learn from that and go forward.
All right. That's We Are Grateful by Tracy Sorrell and illustrated by Frayne Lessig.
Yeah.
It looks beautiful. And that brings us back to you, Sarah.
Are we going to do another picture? Another round of pictures?
Yeah.
Okay. The one I chose next is not a new book. It's an old one, but I kind of wanted to bring it back to people's attention. It's called So Much by Trish Cook, illustrated by Helen Oxenberry, the great children's illustrator. And it's about a family that is waiting for one member of the family to go home. And the main character is the baby. And I think this is one that would be great for little baby readers. And one by one, the family arrives and the door goes ding dong and somebody comes in, and it gets more and more raucous until at last the dad gets home. And Daddy rubbed the baby's face against the whiskers on his chin, and Mom brought in the food that she'd been cooking. And then there's a spread of this whole family dancing and laughing and having a great party because it's Dad's birthday. And all along, everyone has loved the baby so much. There's this refrain, and the baby goes to bed and he plays in the crib, and he remembers how everybody loved him so much. And it ends with the mother and the father standing over the crib with this adorable, nobody does adorable babies the way Helen Oxenberry does. So this is one I want people to come. It's rhythmic and full of color and energy and just a really wonderful book to read aloud to children. It's just got a great bop.
Nice. And good snuggle time, too,
Yes.
All right. That one was
So Much
by Trish Cook, illustrated by Helen Oxenberry. Barb?
I've got Gondra's Treasure, and some of you may have seen Sarah bring out her dragon book, and this is illustrated by Jennifer Black Reinhardt, who's an Iowa City illustrator, written by Linda Sue Park. And it really is a little dragon learning about her heritage, and as many of our books are, learning to be herself. Her mother comes from the West and her father and her dad's family's from the East. And it describes the difference between those kinds of dragons. You know, one can fly, one can't. One can breathe fire, one breathes mist. One carries a pearl, the other hoards treasure. And so all the way through learning about that, and in the end, there is one spread where she's got her lovey is not a bear, it's a cow. And she's getting all of her goodnight reading books, and they're all real dragon books. Anyway, at the very end, the real purpose of this book is to say, she says, why don't we get treasure anymore? Why don't we collect treasure like so many dragons do? And they say, we don't need them anymore because I'm your treasure.
Aww.
And I think this would be a great gift to a family getting a new baby or a sibling that's getting a new baby in the house. Treasures are treasures.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. Gondra's Treasure by Linda Sue Park, illustrated by Jennifer Black Reinhardt. And that brings us back to you, Jerry. Another picture book?
I do. And it kind of lends itself to a nonfiction feel, but it's called Bloom Boom by April Poley Sayer. It is a gorgeous book with woodland and flower gardens across the country in the spring and what they look like. So you see a variety of flowers, a variety of insects, but also a variety of land and different ways that environment can be in different parts of the country. And throughout it is just a gorgeous photograph picture book. Somewhat in the like a Seymour Simon type of nonfiction photograph storybook, but done in a fantastic big double spreads of all these animals and flowers that are across the country. And then a great conversation book that you can talk about what you're seeing. So another good sit in your lap book.
Right. Really spend some time looking at the pictures.
Yeah, and in the back, it also helps our parents with a bit more about the blooms. So there's a paragraph of explanations of the different flowers. So you can also increase our children's vocabulary by telling a little bit more about what the page of flowers are.
And maybe even inspire some time outdoors.
Yes, would be true. It would be very, very nice. So
I think this would have been one of my son's favorite books if it had been published when he was littler.
It is a great one, and especially if you love gardens or it's something I appreciate very much. I'm not very good at gardening, but they're beautiful pictures and just a fabulous book.
Bloom Boom, April Poley Sayer. And I want to talk about transitional books, so I think we'll skip over to Barb and talk a little bit about these books, which are, again, these are the books when your child is starting to become a little bit of an independent reader. They want something challenging but not overwhelming.
It's about text. It's about content. I get many, many, many customers. Their kids might be strong readers, independent, but they really don't want to deal with teen themes and get into independent long novels that have themes that are over their kids' head.
Yeah.
So this is often for a section of kids who may be early reading at 5 and 6, up to 8 and 9, that span. This is the first one I'm talking about is by Juana Medina, and it's Juana and Lucas Big Problems. Lucas is her dog, and this family is from South America, and Mommy, who she adores, has been bringing home a new boyfriend. Uh-oh. This is trouble. Even though she likes him, she thinks things are going to change at their house, and indeed they do. And along comes Luis, and he's spending a lot of time with Mommy. The things she knows about him so far at the beginning— he knows a lot about buildings because he's an architect. Luis used to smoke a pipe, but he doesn't smoke anymore. He has a prickly beard and he wears plaid shirts. He likes photography. And anyway, this goes through that transition of a family, mostly Juanina, wondering what is going to happen next. And she doesn't want to give up her old apartment and her place and all that kind of thing. These have been very popular. The first one was just Juana and Lucas. And There are a lot of reading and good themes and a little more in depth than some.
All right. So Juana and Lucas, big problems.
Did you want me to go on with those or wait?
Why don't you do one more and then we'll go and we'll let Jerry do a couple of these too. So that's by Juana Medina. Yeah. And what's your next one?
My next one is by Meg Rossoff and it's called Good Dog McTavish. In this particular family, the Peachy family, mom has resigned as the mother. She's taking up other things that she really would like to do instead. But no one is cooking dinner, no one's picking up dirty laundry, and everyone's late for work and school. She's finding her inner peace, but the rest of them are falling apart. And the one sensible child says, "We're getting a dog." And the dog is the one who takes credit for turning the family around and making them all independent. He doesn't talk, but the way he reacts to things, for example, knowing that they're always late all the time, he starts barking at 7 o'clock and he won't leave the rooms. He goes around and around barking till everybody gets up, even though they're furious with him. They are on time where they're supposed to be. But it's a very charming and dear and funny. So the Peachy family, Ma's got good wisdom in what she's doing. So
And then the dog's in charge. That's great. Good Dog McTavish by Meg Rossoff. And how about a couple of transitional readers from you, Jerry?
Oh, you bet. I've got two that are series. So once they are readers that are becoming readers and strong readers can follow along. And the first one is called Ballet Cat. What's your favorite? And so this is kind of a Mo Willems type of inspired book with a cartoon, the friendship between the cousin of the goat and Ballet Kitty. It also has the conversation bubbles and some, the same type of friendship that Piggy and
Gerald.
Gerald, yeah, the elephant has. But in this particular book, what's your favorite? One is doing magic and one is doing ballet and the cat is doing the ballet, the goat is doing the magic, and they're trying to entertain their grandma, who has to, in the end, of course, is asked, which one is your favorite, the magic tricks or the ballet? And of course, grandma says politically correctly, both of them are correct, but they do not allow that to happen. So it's very fun. Because grandma's got sweat running off of her and she's trying to make
everyone happy,
you know, they both grandchildren. And then it ends up that she says, mint chocolate chip, only for kids who do not say magic or ballet for the rest of the day. So a great ending with grandma saving the day.
All right. That's Ballet Cat, What's Your Favorite by Bob Shea. And then you have another series you like, right?
I do. It's Charlie and Mouse and Grumpy. And Grumpy is the grandpa that comes to take care of the children at night while mom and dad are out having a night on their own. But grandpa, or Grumpy, is kind of tired and doesn't always want to participate in everything that the two are asking of him. But one thing I really liked, it's in a chapter form, and so there's three different chapters in the first, four different chapters, excuse me. The first one is medium, and that's how they describe the baby of the family, and which I thought was a very interesting way, knowing that, you know, the oldest, the middle child, and the babies are always like competing against each other. And so in this case, it's they're called medium. But they pounce on grandpa, they sing songs with grandpa, they have pizza, they build a fort with grandpa, and then they have the pizza, and then mom and dad come home and grandpa can go home and rest.
All right.
And that's by Laurel Snyder.
All right. Charlie and Mouse. There's a couple different Charlie and Mouse books. And then you were talking specifically about Charlie and Mouse and Grumpy. All right. Do you want to just tell me very quickly, Barb, about your other transitional book? And then we'll switch
this
gears.
This is a series, too. This is the third, I think. Bigfoot and Littlefoot, the Squatchicorns. This is, they're Sasquatch, and they're very, very large, and they happen to have a human friend, and he's having a birthday party. I think the most hilarious thing is the one Sasquatch goes to the birthday party, and they ask him to do the honors to cut the cake, but he's never had a cake before. He thinks it's all his. So he chops it up and stuffs it all in his mouth, and everyone is sitting horrified that they don't get any. But anyway, this real story is about a family of Sasquatch who've had to move, and it has some magical kinds of things in it and just very funny perspective of looking at humans.
All right, and I'll read that title again, Bigfoot and Littlefoot and the Squatchicorns by Ellen Potter. I want to move to middle grade books next. And so, Sarah, this is, I know, your favorite category of novel and the one that you tend to write most often.
True.
As well. And we've got to take a quick break here. So we'll get back to that in just a moment. This hour, we're talking about the best new books for children and young adults. And we're going to have a hard time getting through the rest of these lists, but it's going to be a whole lot of fun in just a moment. We'll be back. With me this hour, Sarah Prineas, who is an author. Her most recent book is Dragonfell. She's also a bookseller at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Barb Stein is here. She also works at Prairie Lights and is a former elementary school librarian. Jerry Hyde is with us. She is the youth services manager at Ames Public Library. We will put their lists up on our website by the end of the day. And right now, if you want to follow along on Twitter, we're sharing some of these wonderful books right now. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the IMT Des Moines Marathon, October 19th and 20th, with 6 race events including the full and half marathons, marathon relay, 5K, and more. Register at DesMoinesMarathon.com.
So far, 24 Democrats and 2 Republicans have declared their intention to run for president in 2020. And Iowans play a big role in deciding who the candidates will be. If you need a little help sorting it all out, never fear, Iowa Public Radio has your back with a new podcast called Caucus Land. Clay Masters and Kate Payne will make sure you know everything you need to know. So pull up a straw bale and get ready for Caucus Land. Find out more at caucusland.org. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're learning about the best new books for children and young adults from 3 children's literature experts here in Iowa. Jerry Hyde is here, Youth Services Manager at the Ames Public Library. Barb Stein, who works at Prairie Lights Bookstore and is a former elementary school librarian. And Sarah Prineas, who is an author, and she also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. And Sarah, as I teased before the break, we're going to move on to middle grade books. So these are the books for kids in 5th, 6th, 7th, that arena, depending on where they are as readers. And I know you want to start with a nonfiction pick that probably would go beyond that category.
Yeah, but no, I mean, I think this is right in the zone for that reader. And, we do have some readers that come into the store where just fiction is not their thing, right? I mean, they don't want to read a novel. So we have a great selection of nonfiction in the store. And the one I pulled out to talk about today is in celebration of Pride Month. The book is called Queer Heroes, Meet 52 LGBTQ Heroes from Past and Present, and actually also from all over the world and in human history. And so it's got people all the way from, gay icons like James Baldwin and Harvey Milk, but also some really unexpected people. Like, you've got a page early on in the book where Michelangelo is right next to Sappho, the poet. And the pictures are, and Freddie Mercury, the pictures are lively. The information is told in a really accessible way. And it reminds me of a book that was really formative for me when I was a kid. My mom gave me a book called Women Who Win, and it was profiles of women athletes. And this is the same kind of thing. These are really inspiring people. And for any kid, a kid doesn't have to be, gay or lesbian or trans. This is just useful and interesting and well-told information for the middle grade reader.
All right. Queer Heroes by Arabelle Sicardi.
Mm-hmm.
And why don't you give us a novel, too?
Okay. Oh, great. Good. All right. The book that I really want to talk about today is called Sal and Gabby Break the Universe by Carlos Hernandez. And this is one in the Rick Riordan Presents series. So Rick Riordan is the author of The Lightning Thief.
Percy Jackson, and the Olympians.
Tons of books. And those are Greek Roman history books mostly that he draws from. And he decided we needed to have more diversity in the mythologies that we're drawing from. So he started this line of books that are much more diverse. And so Sal and Gabby, this is the best in that series, in my opinion. Sal is a kid who just moved to Miami. His family is Cuban, and they've just moved to Miami from Connecticut. He's a type 1 diabetic, and he's really into magic. Except that the magic isn't just like magic tricks. It's magic. And it keeps breaking out in ways. It's almost like the magic keeps bursting out. It's just the book is so full of energy and fun and everything. It begins with Carlos has just been in the school for 3 days. Sal has been in the school for 3 days. And he gets bullied, and he has his insulin kit gets broken. And the bully's like, prepare to die. And Sal's like, well, you can't kill me because there's a dead chicken in your locker. And the thing is, there really is a dead chicken in his locker. And of course, Sal has everything to do with that. And it's just about friendship, and it's got wonderful family representation. I mean, it's just altogether fun, hilarious book. And you'd have to read it. I want Charity's son to read it because it's awesome.
I'll do my best. Sal and Gabby Break the Universe by Carlos Hernandez. And Barb, you want to give us a middle grade book?
You know, I'm wondering if Jerry would like to do New Kid. It was on both of our lists. Mm-hmm. And if she agrees to that, then I'll start somewhere else.
Okay. I think you can agree to that, Jerry.
I can, but I would welcome a shared book talk about it.
Oh, I think we can't go that long. So I'm going to start with Sweeping Up the Heart. That's from an Emily Dickinson poem, that title. It's Kevin Hankes, who has written 30 books, lots of picture books, and some novels. And he has a very light touch, and yet sometimes is so breathtaking. In this case, Amelia's mother has died 10 years before. Her father is an English professor. She's looking forward to a horrible summer. Her best friend went away for the summer. And she's in a small town. Her father doesn't see any need to travel. And she does like to spend time at a ceramic gallery making pots and being creative. It turns out the owner of the gallery has a nephew who's come for the summer. And so this book is really the week that they meet each other, get to know each other, and have a wonderful, wonderful friendship. And also spin some yarns as they look out the window, looking at people walking on the street, and they make up stories about people and so on. She's always wondered a lot about her mom because her dad never talks about it. And so this is a finding self book and a feeling hopeful and reassured after lots of sadness. I highly recommend it.
All right, Sweeping Up the Heart by Kevin Hankes. And so, Jerry, you get to talk about New Kid, which was on Sarah's list, but she took it off because Barb already had it, and Barb took it off her list because you have it. So this is a unanimous vote for this is a great book. So tell us about New Kid, Jerry.
Well, I think the reason why it's unanimous, because it's quite unique in the fact that the main character is African-American and is going, wanting to go to art school, but his mom and dad want him to go to this fancy academic private school. And he, Riverdale Academy Day School, and he is now in these two worlds of where he's living, but also what this fancy school is all about. And so, and he's one of the few African-American children or youth in this school, and he's trying to cope with that. And again, the bullies are part of the situation and how to cope with that and who are his friends. And it's a coming of age kind of graphic novel. So this also is helpful in the fact that it is a graphic novel. So not only are we having words and exchanges with words, but when the conversation bubbles, but the pictures, so the illustrations tell a lot about how the story goes. So you get to see that, react to their faces and create that empathy side of the reading through the illustrations.
Yeah.
And Jerry Kraft is an award-winning author, illustrator, and he really touches or is able to explain how that feels through experiences of his own and living through this character. The New Kid, and you know, there aren't, you know, it doesn't end necessarily. Everybody lives happily ever after, but he does learn how to be in the school and also love the drawing and the art that he likes to do so much and accept.
It looks fantastic. Barb, you have I just have a comment,
and that is that for those parents who really do not like comics, graphic novels, the latest research says it's really good for your brain to see pictures and words and to really make judgments by that. So I would say don't put the kibosh on those for your kids. There are many, many more coming out, and they are good, and they're hot right now, and so if your kids have liked Raina Telgemeier or Jean Luen Yang, this would be one for them.
There really has been an explosion in this category. So this one is New Kid by Jerry Kraft. Let's do a lightning round of middle grade books. So you just tell me the name and one line about it, and then we'll talk about some young adult novels. Okay, Sarah.
Okay, my other choice is Hurricane Season by Nicole Mellaby, about a girl and her dad, and her dad is mentally ill and trying to solve that problem and live with it.
All right. Hurricane Season by Nicole Mellaby. Barb, go.
This is an old book. It's a 2018. The Season of Styx Malone. I don't know why I didn't see this before, but this is about kids who live in Sutton, Indiana. The father says, we live here because it's small. Everybody knows us. We stay out of trouble. And then Styx Malone appears, and he is quite a bit older than these boys, the brothers. And he has quite a scheme going on that he teaches them about how to trade things from one thing to another and how you get your money, called the Great Escalator Trade. He leads them down a lot of paths, and he has a lot of secrets, and it's both entertaining and instructive.
All right. The Seasons of Styx Malone by Kekla Magoon. And your turn, Jerry.
Dactyl Hill Squad by Daniel Jose Older. And it's 1863, and it's the Civil War time, and we're in New York with the Colored Orphan Asylum. But we're not only fighting the Civil War, but we have dinosaurs that we're fighting and writing around the world with. So a great way to get a little bit of historical fantasy fiction. But what I also liked is the little description or note from the author in the back that deals with some of the weaponry that is happening, and he's based everything on different books and different facts in history.
Cool, although there were no dinosaurs fighting in the Civil War.
This is true, and this is that's one of the criticisms the book has. But remember, it's fiction.
Right. It sounds great. Dactyl Hill Squad. Dactyl, D-A-C-T-Y-L. Hill Squad, Daniel Jose Older. And let's do a young adult pick. If we're short, we may get more than one, but let's do at least one. Sarah, you want to go next?
Okay, sure. My favorite YA of this year so far is We Are the Perfect Girl by Ariel Kaplan. It is a Cyrano de Bergerac story. It's a girl who, due to some computer texting shenanigans, is standing in for her best friend. And the main character, Afra, is funny and forthright and fierce, and she has a big nose. And she's very self-conscious about it. And her best friend, Bethany, is gorgeous. So, you know, she falls in love with the love interest, Greg, and it's kind of, she really, really screws up. But it's about friendship, and it's about first love, and it is so funny. And Afra is just a completely unique character. She just will go for it no matter what. They're also, you know, really smart kids, and they have hilarious banter. And I really highly recommend this book.
All right. That is We Are the Perfect Girl by Ariel Kaplan. Bart.
I'm doing XL by Scott Brown. The reason it's XL is Will, the main character, has lived all of his life until 16 under 5 feet tall. Suddenly, he grows. He grows up to almost 7 feet tall in that year, and life changes completely. So that's an interesting aspect of the book, is thinking about how much physical presence changes people's perception of you. And but it's also funny, but it is very tender about friendships and first love and having crushes on people and kind of making bad decisions sometimes.
It's, all right, XL by Scott Brown. Plus, it's a young adult novel with a boy at the center of it, which sometimes can be harder to find these days. So, all right. You're up next, Jerry.
So we're going to continue the theme of making poor decisions. And
like so many young adults.
Right. It's the big theme. But mine is also about a young boy, teenager, Norris Kaplan. It's called The Field Guide to North American Teenager. And it is written by Ben Filippi. And we have a main character, Norris Kaplan, that's clever and cynical and quite possibly too smart for his own good. Like all teenagers, right? But it's a really neat, quick read because he does one of the formats that I really enjoy where they take a character and describe it in a chapter, and then the chapters go to the next chapter or something else. But, another character. Only in this case, he's made generalizations. So like the cheerleading squad is, and he describes them and what they're doing in this Texas high school, and how he's trying to, because he's an implant from Canada, he's a Black French Canadian, and he is trying to not fit in, but then examining all these different groups of people in high school, then he decides to stop hiding behind all of his group generalities and do something about it. So The Field Guide to the North American Teenager, a French Canadian who is living in Texas.
All right. The Field Guide to the North American Teenager. And now another lightning round.
Okay.
So almost no time here.
Okay.
Sarah.
The book I chose is called With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo, who won the National Book Award for The Poet X. This is her first novel that's actually in prose, and it's basically about a girl's senior year, except that she's a Black Hispanic. Her family is from Puerto Rico, and she had a baby when she was a freshman. And she's also an almost magically talented chef. So it's really like ordinary. Oh, just a senior year, except that she's got all this other stuff going on. Just brilliantly written, and there are recipes.
All right. With the Fire on High by Elizabeth Acevedo. Barb.
On the Come Up by Angie Thomas, the author of The Hate U Give. It turns out this is about Bree who lives in the hood, and it is very enticing because we get a whole view of her hip-hop career and what she's trying to make it. So you get that whole bit about what celebrity really is and how it's built and who's managing. And then her family, complicated. Dad was killed. Mom was a junkie. She's clean. It's just all those issues. And as you said before, there's the issue of who really am I? And what do I really want the world to know about me? And it's just hard to put down.
All right. Angie Thomas is an incredible writer. So that's
she is.
On the
and
Come Up.
And she's a rapper.
On the Come Up by Angie Thomas. And Jerry, you get the final word on young adult.
I'm going to do yet another male character. What I really liked about this is the relationship between son and father. It's called Checked by Cynthia Kadohoda. It also has hockey, like the previous one did as well. But our main character, Connor, has lots of things that he's thinking about. One is that he wants to be in the AAA Hockey League, but he also wants to, his dog it's been discovered that he has cancer and he wants his dog to live. And so, but there isn't a money for everything to happen. So it's the struggle of making those decisions of what's most important. But the relationship the father and the son has is really, really well done.
All right. Checked by Cynthia Katahata. Oh, my goodness. I'm going to have to go to the bookstore and spend all my money now. That's all right.
We'll be there.
Right. Thank you all so much.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Sarah Prineas is an author. Her most recent book is Dragonfell. She also works at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Barb Stein is at Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and a former elementary school librarian. And Jerry Hyde is the youth services manager at the Ames Public Library. We will have all of their books up online on our website, Iowa Public Radio, by the end of the day. And our producer, Caitlin Harrop, has been live tweeting throughout this hour. So you can go on Twitter at Iowa Public Radio and see a lot of the pics right now. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.